this memetic nature of Bitcoin being a saving technology that will spread. The people that learn to use Bitcoin as their saving account will, you know, have more money and access to this global currency, whereas people who, you know, rely on fiat, they will clearly not be in as good a position as people who do look at Bitcoin as savings.
Welcome to the Swan Signal Podcast, a production of Swan Bitcoin, the best way to accumulate Bitcoin with automatic recurring buys at swanbitcoin.com. I'm your host, Brady Swenson, head of education at Swan. Swan Signal Live pairs great guests for compelling discussions about Bitcoin and economics. In this one, Alex Adelman, co-founder and CEO of Lolli, and Desiree Dickerson, VP of BizOps at Lightning Labs, join us. I'm glad you found your way here. Enjoy. It's a good day to be a Bitcoiner. Above 19,000, you can feel the all-time high coming right around the corner. Who knows when it'll be here, but it feels like it's going to be soon. We are here to talk some Bitcoin with Desiree and Alex, but before we do, let's dive into a little update on Swan. Swan is now available in New York. Very excited about that. We are now in all 50 states and the U.S. territories. So that was the final piece of the geographic puzzle for Swan. We are in every state and territory in the United States. Super excited to have New York on board. If you are in New York, watching from New York, you can log into swanbitcoin.com and set up your account right now. Start auto-stacking with Swan. Achieve that Bitcoin Zen. It's nice when price is going up and down. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to try to figure out when to buy, where's the dip going to end, etc. You're just buying all the time. You can set up a daily stack on Swan. It's a nice feeling. You just kind of chill, Swan and chill. We also have Bitcoin TV running. It's up and running. It's humming right along. We're streaming the best Bitcoin video content 24/7 now for nearly 3 weeks. It's all Bitcoin all the time. And there's a fun chat happening, you know, 24/7 as well in the YouTube chat. And, you know, some really fun conversations have sprung up. When the all-time high hits, I'm guessing there will be quite a few people hanging out in there. That's what happened last time. We keep hitting these kind of big number milestones. People seem to congregate, watch some Bitcoin content, talk about Bitcoin and price. And finally, we have Buy Now coming to Swan. All right. Of course, we are focused on stacking sats. It is the best and safest way to accumulate Bitcoin. But every now and then, you want to smash that buy button. You want to just buy right now. We get that. We've heard you. So we're building that into the product. You can help us test it out. We need some beta testers to come in and smash that buy button, test it out for us. So sign up for that at swanbitcoin.com/buy now. We also have a Telegram chat that I want to shout out. It's a, you know, persistent chat happening all the time. Lots of good Bitcoiners in there. Great place to like just stay up on the news. We have some Bitcoiners in there that seem to always just kind of know what's up before most people and drop in news there. So it's a good place to stay up to date. t.me/swansignal is the chat. Okay. All right. Here we go. We're ready to dive in with Desiree and Alex. Desiree is the COO at Lightning Labs, and Alex is CEO and founder of Lolli. So how's it going, guys? Thanks for joining today for Swan Signal Live.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And just to clarify, I'm VP of Business Operations, but yeah.
My fault, VP no of Business Operations. I don't know no where worries. I got COO then. No awesome. So I'd like to just start, like, this is kind of, an important sort of historical moment in Bitcoin's journey. You can feel this all-time high coming, like I was mentioning at the top. And it's a good time to reflect on personal Bitcoin journey. So Des, let's start with you and just kind of tell me about your Bitcoin journey and what this kind of this historic moment for Bitcoin means to you.
Yeah. So how I got into Bitcoin, that's an interesting story that I always get made fun of for, which is totally fine because it's kind of ridiculous. I was in grad school and I was in a really small program, so I didn't have a ton of friends. And so I spent most of my free time on Reddit. Not that I don't actually do that now as well, but I actually stumbled on r Dogecoin ever before. I mean, I've heard about Bitcoin, but, you know, not much. And so I discovered Dogecoin before Bitcoin, and it's just a really awesome community. Obviously, it's just, you know, a meme. And so I loved it. And I just fell in love with being on the subreddit. And so, I kind of just followed along with that. And then, you know, I was exposed to Bitcoin through Dogecoin. And I was like, oh, okay, there's like a legitimate version of this that, you know, solves all these problems and is actually kind of, you know, pretty profound. And so, you know, while I was doing the whole management consulting thing, kind of, you know, always followed along and was interested and active on Twitter, and then, you know, ended up at Lightning Labs a few years ago. So that's kind of been my story there. And in terms of, you know, this, you know, new price increase that we're seeing, you know, I'm obviously very excited. You know, I know it can kind of crowd our ability to concentrate sometimes, but you know, for me, it's just super exciting because you know, even though it's annoying when people text you and ask you, okay, you know, should I buy Bitcoin now? You know, should I buy ETH? You know, ridiculous stuff. I think it's an opportunity to onboard more people, and you know, this community tends to be very insular. So I think, you know, the more people we can bring on, the more normies we can convert, you know, just that's just all the better for Bitcoin.
Hear, hear. That is what Swan is here for. I know that's what Lolly is here for as well. And this is going to be another big cycle for bringing in new coiners, minting new coiners at every cycle. It seems to like be an order of magnitude, new people coming in. I was one of the people who came in last cycle in 2017, and it feels like ages ago, man. So Alex, let's hear your story, man. Personal journey. Let's reflect on that and hear what this this moment, this kind of historic moment, means for you.
Yeah, it's been a long journey for Bitcoin, and then my team just getting into the space and everything. So I learned about Bitcoin in around, like, I think 2013, and we were building our last company called Cosmic, and we had created this like e-commerce gateway with this intent of democratizing commerce, giving everyone in the world the ability to buy and sell anywhere. And I was at this bar in New York. I was like sleeping on couches because we were, you know, just trying to sell the dream to these merchants. And I met this guy at this bar, and he had like just learned about Bitcoin, and he was obsessed. You know, he had gotten that bug, and everything that he was saying with like Bitcoin of how it was the only asset that everyone in the world could own and trade and use, it just clicked with me, and it was everything that I had been building or had wanted to build, and it was already native to Bitcoin. So went down the rabbit hole then. I talked to my team, my co-founder, Matt, he was a co-founder of the last company, co-founder of Lolly as well. And we just like went down this rabbit hole together. We had our first experience, I think, in bringing it to enterprise. We had all these merchant partnerships with our last company, and we brought it to them, as a way to get users to pay with Bitcoin at all these merchants. And one of the things we realized is that people didn't want to pay with Bitcoin. They didn't want to spend their Bitcoin because number go up. And then the merchants didn't want to accept Bitcoin because remittance networks weren't set up. So they didn't want to have to balance it on their treasury. Now, you know, clearly it would have been advantageous for them to have accepted and held Bitcoin in their reserve in the treasury. But at the time, it was just extremely cumbersome, and there just wasn't a really good fit for Bitcoin payments. So we learned early on that Bitcoin wasn't really going to achieve mainstream adoption through payments, and that there needed to be something else. So fast forward quite a bit, we ended up getting acquired by one of our biggest customers, which was Rakuten. And Rakuten is, for those of you who don't know, is the biggest cashback company in the U.S. and many parts of the world. So we got to learn a lot about the cashback reward space. You know, we got to meet all these customers. We got to you know, work with over 3,000 merchants there alone, and we really got to like see the needs of these merchants and see how, you know, they wanted to attract customers through rewards, and how the rewards business is an incredible way to get people excited and build loyalty to something. So when we parted ways with Rakuten, we you know, went to the drawing board, and we're like, how do we get mainstream Bitcoin adoption? And so we took a very similar model, which was the Rakuten cashback business model, and we basically rebuilt it. So we launched Lolly a little over 2 years ago, and have had a lot of success in making Bitcoin more accessible to everybody,
through rewards and using Bitcoin with what it's really good at right now, which is being a savings technology. So launched 2.5 years ago. We have over 1,000 merchants on the platform, hundreds of thousands of users, and people have earned quite a bit of Bitcoin so far. And then because the price is really 4x since we launched, a lot of our rewards are basically teaching these users that were ex-Rakuten users, ex-cashback users, that we're 4 times better, 3 times better, 2 times better than these cashback companies. So over time, we can start to teach people about the fundamentals of Bitcoin by piquing their interest price.
Love it, man. And speaking of price, like, what are you thinking right now? Like, it's, like I said, it's a moment to reflect and like, what is it? What does all-time high mean to you? And like the Lolli customers, I assume you're going to, try to hype up all of the customers with this new milestone.
It's good for both sides of our business. A lot of the merchants that we're holding out it's piquing their interest. They're saying, oh, you were right. When I pitched them, when it was like, it dropped down to 4K, they were like a little bit wary of like, is it going to keep going down? But as Bitcoin is now reaching all-time highs, we just announced Kroger, which was a huge partnership for us. And then we're about to announce a huge merchant right before the holidays that I think is going to drive a lot more Bitcoin adoption. So the merchants love it. And then our users love it as well. I mean, if you were a Bitcoiner, Bitcoiners love getting Bitcoin for free. It's way more than any of these like browsers or faucets. I mean, people are earning more than 2 Bitcoin on our platform. Like there are some serious stackers on the platform.
And that's amazing.
And like you can earn a lot of money. And like a lot of people, I just saw that note. It was an exclusive. Yeah, have me on next week when we announce. That'd be great. the users are like loving it. I mean, if you're getting, let's just say you earn like $500 a year in rewards, and that $500 is now $2,000. Like, it's not an insignificant amount of money, and it works on top of your debit card, on top of your credit card, so it's all incremental revenue, cash that you're getting, cash back that you're getting. Our users are pretty happy, to say the least.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I 100% agree with you, obviously, that Bitcoin is a savings technology, and just trying and getting as many people to start stacking and, watching the number go up. That's what triggers, the interest in Bitcoin and start asking the questions like, what is money, and diving down the rabbit hole. So it's going to be fun to watch that happen and to do our part as Bitcoiners, try to educate all of these people there who are coming in as well. And we'll come back to education in a minute. I want to ask Alex about that. But before we do, I'm really curious about Lightning Pool. This is the big announcement from Lightning Labs, came out earlier this month. It's sounds super interesting. It sounds like another big kind of milestone for Lightning Network, for Bitcoin as a money, in terms of establishing a yield curve, et cetera. So Des, can you talk to us about what Lightning Pool is, how it works, and what you think it means for Bitcoin and the network?
Yeah, I mean, I think Pool, and we obviously got lucky a little bit, and a lot of people are really pumped about Pool because of the whole DeFi craze. Like, I mean, this is real DeFi. This is, what some folks are calling LiFi, Lightning Finance. So we're obviously very excited, that this is getting a lot of traction. But, for me, the thing that this is, why this is so interesting is it really was born out of like a business need. I mean, if you remember the Lightning Torch, like, way back when, I mean, just passing along those few sats was like such a pain because of just the challenges with acquiring inbound liquidity. That was just like a very small example. So if you kind of look at, places, these bigger companies that are, getting way more customers and just doing like legitimate business on the Lightning Network, inbound liquidity is a very, very serious, business need. So, developing a marketplace for these businesses and node operators to buy and sell access to liquidity is really kind of unique. I am less kind of finance focused. I know, like, Brian Gentry, who's our BD lead, is know, amazing at kind of evangelizing really like the whole Li-Fi component to it. But, you know, in my role at the company, I'm just like very interested to see this like huge business problem that it solves. So it's not only just like opening up the door for like people to start earning like real yield on their Bitcoin, but it's also, you know, solving that problem of like, you know, how can, you know, people who have excess liquidity sell that and actually make use of their Bitcoin, but also, you know, these businesses who need liquidity to, you know, balance their channels and serve their customers. Like, this is really solving a serious business need, and they're willing to, you know, to pay a price for that as well. So, you know, I think it's like a really interesting, like financial instrument that we've kind of created and put out there. But it's also, you know, I think it, you know, long-term will have like significant impacts of like really kind of firming up the foundation for companies to operate efficiently on the Lightning Network.
Yeah, it's it seems like a very instrumental development to me for the network. And you know, it's, we were talking about how Bitcoin functions as a store of value right now. That's its primary use case, right? But we're building out Lightning Network, and I think it's extremely important to continue to build out Bitcoin as a payments, you know, technology as well, right? It may not be used widely as a payments technology yet, but it's extremely important. I mean, if we had centralized payment systems, those will always exist. They're always going to be super, you know, very efficient. People can opt into them, but it's going to be absolutely crucial for privacy, for freedom, to have the ability to opt out of like the payments panopticon, because the more, you know, payments go digital, more like basically we're heading toward a cashless society. That's just the easiest way to surveil basically everyone on the planet. So I think it's super important that Lightning Network continues to be developed. What do you think about the state of the Lightning Network right now, Des? Like, it's what are you excited about besides Lightning Pool, and how do you feel about the future of Lightning?
I'm super, super bullish on Lightning, obviously. It would be strange if I wasn't. But, you know, there's just been so much progress, and, you know, kudos to our team. Like, I don't mean to like pat ourselves on the back, but, you know, we've pushed out so many, you know, amazing updates this year. Wumbo, so lifting the limits on sending Bitcoin, has been a huge accomplishment. Also just kind of signaling the maturity of the network. Before it was, you know, everybody be crayful, this is new and experimental technology, but now, you know, lifting those limits kind of signals, hey guys, like, this is a true, like, legitimate payment network. So I think the last year has been extremely powerful for the Lightning Network, and, you know, it's kind of evidenced by just kind of the growth of the ecosystem. I remember last year in Berlin, we hosted the Lightning Conference, and I had hosted kind of like a little roundtable to kind of talk to some of our customers. And it was a very small group because, you know, there weren't that many folks who were building on the network. But now, I mean, just like pulling together a list of companies who are building on Lightning, and it's well over like 120 companies. It's just incredible. And it's not only just like little people who are tinkering and building things as, you know, a side hobby. This is people who are building legitimate companies who are securing significant venture capital. So it's really incredible to, you know, see not only just like network, like the general use grow, but also like the businesses who are who Lightning is becoming integral to their day-to-day operations. But, you know, I think something that's like very unique, and just to Bitcoin in general, something that seems to be growing is just, you know, Bitcoin, like you said, used to be this, I mean, and it still is this thing to, you know, avoid surveillance. It's very much this kind of privacy protecting technology, but, you know, that was great to get off the grid and, you know, get away from, you know, centralized entities, but there wasn't like, it was great. Now I have my Bitcoin, but what do I do? And now we have places like Lolli, which I absolutely love Lolli, which I think Alex knows, because I try and tweet a lot as like, if I can, but you know, you can actually use your Bitcoin for real things. Like, I'm renovating my house. I literally bought a toilet and earn Bitcoin on Lolli. So that's one of my favorite things to like add in like investor updates. It's like, it's not just feeding chickens anymore. You can actually buy toilets on Lolli. So I think that's pretty powerful.
That is powerful. No shitcoins needed for the toilet.
Yeah. You know, that's yeah, exactly. I was going to make the joke. Alex got there first. So yeah, Alex, what do you think about Lightning, man? Does Lightning figure into Lolli at some point? And just in general, what are your thoughts about Lightning?
Yeah, I mean, I love it as just a personal user. And then also, like, our whole team sends like Lightning transactions all the time. I have art that I've bought with like using Lightning. I almost think it's like irresponsible to not use it just because, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, when I spend, you know, using Bitcoin that I've like regretted, either, you know, the fees or something. So I think like Lightning is making this like whole new world of Bitcoin like possible, which is using it as a medium of exchange. And I sort of take this like long view where there's functionality that has to be built now, which is more about core, which is like as a savings technology, and that's where Bitcoin is at today. But in order for Bitcoin to be more widely adopted in the future, I think we need things like Lightning. It's, you know, I think it's my favorite project other than Lolli, as far as like getting Bitcoin to the masses. We've huge fans of Lightning Labs and Lightning as a whole, and have been talking and about working together since we launched. And I think that on our end, there aren't a lot of people that are like moving Bitcoin off. We have so many people that are brand new to Bitcoin that a lot of them don't, like, they just want to hold it. And so like 95% of our users just want to use Lolli as a custodial account, you know, similar to Swan, similar to Coinbase, Kraken, what have you. And so when more of our users start to learn more about Bitcoin and want to move their Bitcoin to cold storage wallets or to their own personal keys or whatever, I think that Lightning is going to be way more important. And then, you know, I think as we start to transition over the next few years into more of a payment rails, there's just a clear fit to use Lightning for our merchants. So one of the things that, you know, we've set out to do is be the most active wallet in between the merchants and the consumer, and to build these very strong relationships with our merchants. And so because we just passed 1,000 merchants, and because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, all these merchants are getting like really excited about Bitcoin. They're like asking for more information. They want to learn more about it. I'm sending them the Bitcoin standard. You know, we're trying to educate as well as, you know, clearly make them money as well. And so, you know, I kind of see this future where we go to them and we say, hey, look, you've loved us for rewards. You've loved us for attracting new users. You know, Bitcoin is way less volatile. You know, speaking in the future, Bitcoin's way less volatile. What do you think about accepting Bitcoin as a medium of exchange? Because there are users that do want to spend it. And there are so many advantages that it has over credit cards, over debit cards, especially when you're, you know, considering Lightning. So I do think that we'll be a huge player in the payment space, and, you know, we'll be leveraging technology like Lightning in order to facilitate that.
That's awesome. We got a question for Alex from Pardis, our friend at BTC Pins. Breck, you want to throw that up on the screen? Not sure what he's talking about, but I assume Alex will know. Alex, what was the Los Angeles thing Lolli was teasing a few weeks ago?
Oh, it's coming soon. It has to do with cannabis. I'll say that much. So we've got some fun stuff coming up there. But yeah, we're announcing, this is a partnership we're announcing with one of our merchants that has not launched yet, but we will be announcing soon before the holidays if any cannabis users are interested in Bitcoin and cannabis.
There you go. There you go, Pardis. That sounds very interesting indeed. Dez, let's move back to you. I know you're a big fan of Lightning Gaming, so let's talk about Lightning Gaming for a bit. That's fine. Let's hear it. I mean, the gaming in the esport industry is massive. It's just, and it's growing insanely quick, insanely fast. So, you know, let's talk about how it's being used, how Lightning and Bitcoin is being used, some of your favorite use cases, some of your favorite games that that are using Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, definitely my favorite topic to talk about. I'm involved with something that's called MintGox, which is a monthly esports tournament that we put on, and it was kind of we kind of came up with it in the face of COVID. I had last year hosted a, at the Lightning Conference, hosted a Bitcoin and Lightning gaming panel. Had some interesting folks on there. So I was kind of working to, you know, it's my favorite use case. So I was kind of working to promote it at some upcoming events. And when those were canceled, I was randomly on a call with Simon Cowell from Zebedee, and we're like, well, we shouldn't let that be canceled. Like, let's just continue it online. So we actually created MintGox that we hope, I mean, it's a monthly event that we host an esports tournament that features one or more Bitcoin or and Lightning games. So I mean, they're all on Lightning, obviously, with the small SAP prizes, but yeah, we consider it Bitcoin gaming. But yeah, this is really my favorite use case because for me, like I said earlier, people love earning Bitcoin. They love stacking sats. You know, it's hard to convince someone to who's not already into Bitcoin for all the reasons that we're here to just go and spend their hard-earned money on Bitcoin, something they can't see, something they can't feel, something that they don't see the direct results of. So if there's ways for folks to just earn Bitcoin by doing things that they love or by doing things that they're already doing, like with Lolly, that's just an incredible opportunity to onboard people. So for gaming, it to me, it's just like a no-brainer use case because people come never having used Bitcoin before, never having cared about it, but they're interested in the game. Like I know Bitcoin Bounty Hunt by Donner Lab, which is kind of a first-person shooter type of game. A lot of their early users were people who'd never used Bitcoin before, but were really interested in just playing the game and winning some type of value. And they came and, you know, they were obviously, they had to download a wallet and cash out their winnings. And so they were basically made directly, they were made into Bitcoiners through gaming. So I just, to me, that's how I got interested coming from a business angle is like, how can we onboard massive amounts of people? Obviously, like these younger generations, gaming and esports is really their social platform. It's what Facebook was, or like Zanga or MySpace was to some of us back in the day. You know, Fortnite is that social platform for them. So, and they're obviously younger, so they're more likely to adopt kind of these newer technologies. So for me, it just kind of marries like those two factors. And I just think it's super interesting. Something with the MintGox stuff that we've been thinking about is like, do we call it Bitcoin or Lightning gaming? And it's like, is Lightning actually, like, when does Lightning just become Bitcoin? Like, when do we stop saying like, this is, these are Lightning transactions and it's just all Bitcoin? So I think it's interesting that, you know, are we going to start completely bypassing the people onboarding to Bitcoin first, going to Cash App and, you know, buying their first Bitcoin? Are we just going to have people earning directly and onboarding directly to Lightning? So I think there's some like really interesting new ways for creating adoption through things like gaming.
That's awesome. Thantos in the chat, the Donner Labs game that Des just mentioned was the reason I got into the Lightning Network. No joke. So there you go. Yeah. I mean, that's the story. And this, you know, Lolly and Lightning Gaming are both ways like that are going to bring people into Bitcoin who have no idea, have never heard about it before. And I can see like the gaming use case, you know, just to be absolutely massive. Like you said, like it's, you know, with the younger generations, like it's gaming is how it is social life. It's the internet social world. And you see some of these like esports events have like are larger than the Super Bowl, you know, you just get like a, like hundreds of millions of viewers online and filling like literal stadiums. And you can imagine, you know, these, and most of them are like first person shooter type games that, that people play, you know, using instead of like some kind of scoring system, you know, it's all sats. And imagine, like, you know, people on Twitch, these gamers on Twitch who have massive audiences, starting to promote, you know, games that are using Bitcoin as rewards, sats rewards. And it just takes off from there. So it's just like another avenue, that you can, I mean, there's just so many of them. Alex, are you a gamer? Have you tried out some of this stuff?
I wouldn't consider myself a gamer. I enjoy games. I love studying them. I'm a huge believer in lightning, like lightning strategy with gaming. It's one of those things where, like, you know, when I look on more of like a, from like a macroeconomic viewpoint, I look at like markets that where you're not like constrained by a country, you're not constrained by like fiat rails, as I like to say. And gaming is one of those really interesting things where, because anybody can go play a game as long as you have a browser, that, you know, I look for things that can connect everybody. If you if everyone needs a PlayStation 5 or if everyone needs an Xbox, it creates this like inaccessibility. But, you know, there's what, 3 billion people with a cell phone, 2.5 billion people or more that play video games, you know, across the entire world. When I think about things that are going to connect people, it's, you know, there's or connect the world through commerce. Everybody is going to shop online using their phone. Everybody is going to play games using their phone. So gaming is this very interesting mechanism, because it doesn't need commerce for it to work, but every new game has this commerce layer. And, you know, something that, you know, we kind of thought about when we were building Lolly is, you know, what is something that someone already knows? And it's rewards. People love getting rewards. People shop already, and rewards are going to just be commonplace for every purchase you make. You're just expecting that you're going to get some sort of rewards. And part of what we saw at Rakuten was that Rakuten didn't have, they were super fiat constrained. They had to sell in the U.S. They had to do rewards in the U.S. And every time that they broke into a new country, it cost them so much money in order to distribute, you know, cash to people, you know, their native currency to people. And so it broke down. And so really they could only really be like prominent in like the U.S. and in Japan. Where we see scale is that we don't have to work with these, like, you know, with these banks and everywhere we go. We can just drop Bitcoin into people's wallets anywhere in the world. And gaming is extremely similar. Like V-Bucks has no fiat constraints. I could be in Bangladesh playing, you know, Fortnite and getting V-Bucks. There's no reason that a future gaming studio that is, you know, passionate about Bitcoin couldn't use Lightning Labs to, you know, create a, you know, Bitcoin Lightning integration to make Lightning the standard and have this sort of like abstraction of Bitcoin and a real currency that everybody can move and use in the real world and in the virtual world.
Yeah, it's incredibly exciting to think about it as another, just like I said, I mean, I have thought about Lightning in gaming, but I'm getting super bullish on it right now as a way to bring in new users over the next, like, you know, few years, as people, like kids, get involved with it. I mean, they're going to get it right away. Like you said, with V-Bucks, like, they understand the value of these digital monies, right? And sats are just like the real deal, you know? It's like, oh, this is like V-Bucks for real, you know? Like, it's being used globally as money already. And I don't, you know, they'll everywhere. I don't have to, you know, cash in V-Bucks for dollars or whatever. Might as well just go straight to it, right?
And another point too, and what we've seen, and I think gaming and commerce have very similar parallels. So what we've seen in the commerce world is like this transition from points to cash back. So points being like sort of this like fake, highly centralized currency. A lot of people don't know this, but point systems are basically arbitrages on the consumer. You're basically saying this point is worth X amount of money. It can change. It buys you different amounts of things. And so it's always changing depending on what the point company tells you that their point is worth. It's basically this like centralized manipulated currency. And so that's why Rakuten has been so successful and why I think Lolly will be successful, because you know how much $1 is worth. There's some truth to that. When I'm going in the gaming world and getting V-Bucks, or I could go play a game that is like, you know, just as fun and similar, and I can go have real money for that, I think it's the natural transition. People are always looking for the truth. They're always looking for, you know, what is real. And I think cashback was sort of a trend in shopping. And this next trend in gaming will be this digital currency that was made for the internet. And that is Bitcoin. That is Lightning.
Yeah.
And what's go ahead, Dis.
I was just going to say, we created McGox just like to do for a couple of months, like while we thought the pandemic, obviously that's lasted a little bit longer than we anticipated, but it's been crazy. Like the first event, we had like 100 streamers. Now we have the last event, we had over like 4,400 streamers, 15,000 transactions. It's just crazy to see. People are so pumped about it. People are pumped about winning 5 sats. Sats are sats, and they don't care how few it is. And, you know, with these small amounts, everybody can get paid out. Like, every place can get paid out rather than just having the top 3 people. So there's, like, a lot of, like, interesting things we can, play with in these virtual worlds. I actually have, like, a book about virtual economies on my desk. So like design and analysis. So yeah, Alex, I feel like we could chat about this for like.
I love it. Well, let's get into it. First of all, let's talk more about, I love the idea of the virtual economy. So I want to talk more about that, and like the specifics of what you're learning and studying. But first, what was the question? Are there any new games coming out right now that are like on the horizon that you know are coming, that you could talk about, like that you're excited about that are using Lightning?
Oh, wow. So there's so much. Donor Lab Bitcoin Bounty Hunt. We're having McGox on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern for folks who want to join. There's 5 million sat prize. So I think that's like, over $1,000 at this point that we're giving away. And so we're featuring Bitcoin Bounty Hunt. So that's like the whole first person shooter kind of battle royale type game. So that will be going on. And then there's lots of like fun side games that you can play. You can feed the Poyo Feed chickens. Like last time we fed the Poyo Feed chickens over 100 times. So they're like obese now, which is, great. Satoshi's Games is, doing really incredible stuff. Like they have like a pretty much like very similar to Fortnite type game. And they have like a whole in-game skins. Right now they're doing NFTs for those skins, but they're like exploring some cool stuff with LSATs, which I'm excited about. But they have Satoshi's Games has Light Night, that's what it's called. And then also Thunder Games has 2 games in the App Store. One is Turbo 84, which is like a synthwave racer type game. And then also Bitcoin Bounce, where you kind of just bounce along these platforms and collect tickets, which you can cash out for Satoshis. So Jack has been like kind of leading the way and battling the App Store with keeping his games there and like the whole walled garden problem. And then, Zebedee is, they're really focused on their SDK. They just came out with an amazing gaming wallet that uses static QR codes that are really great for streamers. Like if you want your viewers to tip you, that you can just add your static QR code to your Twitch page. So we're actually seeing a lot of folks starting to do that. It's really cool. They have Bitcoin Rally, which is one that we do a big esports turnaround, which is like Mario Kart. So that's a really cool game. So yeah, there's some new folks who are coming out with games. There's one that kind of seemed like a Fall Guys type game. So I'm excited to see what people start putting out next year, especially with like Zebedee making it super easy with their SDK. Like I think we'll start seeing more and more game developers come to this space and, start putting out these like really neat indie games now that it's easy. And also the price of Bitcoin obviously attracts folks to kind of come our way.
This is amazing. I had no idea. You're speaking my language. I got to get in some of these games. Like when you were talking, I love racing games. So you're talking about this, like that Turbo game and Mario Kart. Like Mario Kart, come on, man. Like I spent so much time playing Mario Kart when I was a kid. If I can play Mario Kart and earn sats, that's going to happen this week for sure, as soon as possible.
Sunday's your opportunity. Join us.
I will be there. that's awesome. So what is this about virtual economies that you're talking about? Like, what are you learning? Alex, do you want to lead off with this, or do you want to give Des a chance to lead off and you can follow up?
I'll follow up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Tell us what's in this book and what are you studying about?
Well, I mean, I haven't gotten very far, to be honest. Like, it's been pretty busy with like pool launch and everything else, but I don't know. So I just diving into this book, but we're kind of experimenting with one, like, you know, what happens when you break down the fourth wall between viewers and people who are actually playing the game. Like in McGox, we have a dashboard where you can actually like stream stats to drop power-ups in the Mario Kart-like game, or you can actually just put sats as bounty on people's heads that you want killed in this first-person. So, like, that becomes, like, very, very interesting. But the one thing that I'm kind of focused on right now is, you know, how do we experiment with kind of these circular advertising models? For instance, we have worked with Bitrefill recently, and we've developed this kind of cool, like, pit stop bit refill station, we call it, and people can drive their carts in this Mario Kart game through the station, and they get 10 Satoshis, and they need to decide, okay, do I take these 10 Satoshis and use them as projectiles against my opponents so I can obviously place higher and hopefully get the larger prize, or do I just stack those Satoshis and then I can just have them, keep them, and then cash out at the end of the game? And hopefully, like, we obviously link like to Bitrefill, and at some point we want people to be able to use those Satoshis in game to buy like actual physical, like real world, like for Bitrefill actual gift cards in the game. So we're kind of experimenting, like, how do we, you know, lower the customer acquisition cost, and, you know, make advertising in these esports, like these Bitcoin esports tournaments, more lucrative to sponsors and advertisers. So that's what, like, I'm kind of experimenting with. That's what I'm charged with. But, you know, Christian Moss, who's Mantle Duck on Twitter and also at Zebedee, is kind of like playing with these. Okay, like, how do we use virtual economies to make people who are playing these games like really think, and, you know, like, there's just so much more, like, behavioral, like, you can do so much more with people's behavior in game, like, when you have like real currencies in them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Alex, any thoughts?
Yeah, same page. I think it's really cool, this like intersection of virtual and in person. And it's all converging right now. So I think it's going to get really exciting too when like you can use the same currency in a virtual world that you can in the real world, and Bitcoin is a part of that. I think the thing that, you know, we being, you know, in the U.S. have a difficult time seeing is what that international market, you know, is doing. And, you know, when you know, Des was saying, you know, was talking about all this like traction and interesting usage, like, we're probably not going to see it in the U.S. to start. People play games everywhere, and so you immediately have a market of 4 billion people with an internet connection, and a lot of those people, you know, they don't have to speak English, or they don't have to, you know, be in the U.S. in order to adopt Bitcoin, but they're another user, they're using Bitcoin, and so the more and more connected the entire world is through these like commerce applications, the better, I think, the more Bitcoin adoption there will be. And, you know, when I look at, like, you know, the way I look at Lolly is, like, you know, we're a startup. Most of the times when you build a company, you have to be focused on your country. But, you know, being, you know, as you know, with Swan too, you know, we have these fiat constraints because, you know, of FinCEN and compliance issues and all this sort of requirements. But with Bitcoin, it's like internationally scalable. So the market is just going to be way bigger, and it's just going to attract anybody with an internet connection. It's not just, you're not just going after, you know, 300 million Americans that can, you know, potentially download this app. You're going after 4 billion people, and in building a company, it's like entrepreneurs that are, you know, want scale. Why would you build on top of fiat when you could build on top of Bitcoin and reach way more people? It just becomes a very simple, like, behavioral incentive mechanism. Like, I want to build a $100 billion company. I don't want to go build a, you know, $100 million company. So people, more and more people are going to build on Bitcoin. More game developers are going to build on Bitcoin. More commerce, you know, developers are going to build on Bitcoin. Like, it's just inevitable because it's a global market.
Bullish. It's beautiful. Very bullish. I love, Yeah, I love the vision. I love the vision. Something you mentioned earlier, Alex, about using Bitcoin as a treasury reserve asset for businesses. And this is like a narrative. Well, it's not just a narrative. It's a actual phenomenon that we're seeing occur now and roll out, of course, kind of led as a trend setting by Michael Saylor, MicroStrategy, just like going all in, which was amazing. And Square kind of dipping their toes in and making a $50 million buy to put on their reserve, a little casual $50 million buy. I feel like we kind of like missed this one. We were all talking about through the bear market and stuff, like, you know, institutional adoption and national, like, you know, reserve currency adoption. And like, I didn't hear a lot of chatter about the corporate reserve currency, but of course it makes absolutely perfect sense in retrospect. How big of a deal is this to you? It seems like something that's going to drive a narrative that will drive this cycle.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. And I don't think enough people talk about, people get bullish of like, oh, this billionaire's buying Bitcoin or this, you know, massive public company's buying Bitcoin. But it's actually, I think it's bigger than that. And the story that I don't hear told is these companies now, more so than ever in the entire history of the world, are bigger than countries. Like they're on an international scale from day one. And so, you know, if your country is not going to, you know, be smart enough to have a non, you know, inflationary currency, then you have to. And if you're holding, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars in reserves, like, you know, if you're doing treasury management and you have an inflationary, you know, currency that's losing 2%, or, you know, if we're about to go through a recession and, you know, we might, you know, have higher inflation and we go up to 4 or 5%, like your cash is not as valuable as it was. So you have to make this decision. Do you buy up a bunch of companies that are profitable and so you can, you know, make more money or are going to be, add value to your company? That's one option. Or, you know, do you buy something that is going to hold in value? A lot of companies can't hold gold. Like I could never see Square buying gold, building their own Fort Knox and holding that gold. Like it just doesn't make sense, right? And so maybe you could, you know, rationalize buying, you know, gold and having like ownership of it. But there's really nothing better than Bitcoin right now to hold your value and to go up. So I think we're going to see this be this like overwhelming trend of companies that are operating on international scale that want to protect their cash reserves and sort of fight inflation are going to adopt Bitcoin as a reserve currency.
Yeah, I think it's an absolutely bullish trend. It makes perfect sense. Does Lolly hold any Bitcoin in the corporate treasury?
No comment. It's OPSEC.
Fair. Des, how do you feel about this trend and just the role of Bitcoin? I mean, this fiat economic, like just accelerated fiat time that we're in now, these pandemic shutdowns really in the subsequent like money printing that's happened, which has been like shocking and is probably going to continue even more in the next year or so. Do you see more corporations like coming in because of that, devaluation? Like Michael Saylor said, if you count like assets, you know, the asset inflation rate, which is actually more like 15 or 20%, it's like the melting ice cube is going really fast. So what do you think about this trend?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a mixed bag of emotions around it. Because one, it's like, okay, I mean, it's great. I mean, all these like institutions, jumping into Bitcoin is great for Bitcoin. It's, you know, it's great for exposure, but I'm also like kind of salty because it's like, okay, are they like the same wealthy old white dudes just going to get more wealthy? And like, that feels like, you know, not great to me. But you know, that's like the nature of Bitcoin, right? It's for everyone. So, ultimately I have to be okay with that. And I'm working through that, but like, yeah, no joke, like jokes aside, you know, I do like all of this makes me nervous, like this high price is, you know, if it comes crashing down again, I mean, I remember the last time like it started crashing down, I was in Deer Valley and I was skiing and I was like, oh yeah, like I'm going to be Bitcoin rich. Yay. And then it just all started crashing. And I was like, oh my God, I need to return this jacket immediately. I'm like very, cautious about how excited I get about these things, because I mean, what's the narrative, you know, if we crash back down to $3,000, like what does that do? You know, not, I mean, to Bitcoin's marketing, which, you know, is just like the naturally created narrative. So I'm just very cautious. I mean, cautiously optimistic. So I tend to just kind of stay out of it, be quiet and just watch and just, you know, do my job, build as much as possible, and not focus on the price and just kind of let things happen. But yeah, I mean, I think overall, to answer the question, you know, Bitcoin, like more and more people, like these big players getting into Bitcoin is ultimately a good thing. But only time will tell.
It's going to change our little Bitcoin. I get it too. Like it's our nice, our little community, building on Bitcoin. This cycle may be the end of that feeling, anyway. But hey, you know, it's got to grow up at some point, and you know, it'll be like, you know, it's like when Bitcoin's almost 11 years old, coming close to 12. So it's like a really precocious, you know, young person right now with big dreams. And I have that sort of parental kind of feeling about Bitcoin too, you know, like it's, something that we kind of discovered early and like we're trying to shepherd to fruition together, in the best way possible. And yeah, you know, and as it grows up, it's sort of like leaving the nest, you know, we might all have empty nest syndrome. I think it's a good thing, ultimately. I mean, it's inevitable, so whatever happens, it's always interesting, in every bull market and bear market for that matter. So has, you know, Bitcoin's nature is fundamentally different than fiat. Obviously it's deflationary money, versus, you know, inflationary money. It's, you know, its supply is set in stone. It can't be altered by humans or controlled. And so it's absolutely predictable on, you know, what the value of Bitcoin will be in terms of, you know, in terms of how many Bitcoin will be minted at any given time and the issuance rate and all that. And this seems to have like this difference between kind of short-term preference money and long-term preference money seems to have an effect on behavior, you know, kind of speaking earlier about like how virtual economies can be set up to really affect behavior. This is that on like a global level, each individual and then collectively, will have an impact on society. So I'd love to hear you guys talk about like how you personally experienced Bitcoin. Like, has that kind of shift to long-term thinking affected you personally? And, you know, and then we can talk about the future for society and civilization. But I'd love to start with just, you know, personally, what has it changed, you know, your behavior in any way? Alex, you want to start with that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I love the meme. The best memes are the ones that are true, and they sort of simplify a message that is like, you know, everybody should understand, and they're educational in nature. And the best, I think one of the best memes is, you know, fiat is your checking account, Bitcoin is your savings account. And I think it encapsulates like how my view of Bitcoin, and I think how most people's view of Bitcoin that have been in it for a while, you know, how they think about it. It's, you know, Bitcoin is deflationary, fiat inflationary, and so you over time you sort of see it as like you're holding this amount of money in your savings account, your Bitcoin account, and then your checking account becomes like what you're spending. And I think that's a good framework way to think about it. It is like it's not all too dissimilar from, you know, how a lot of people treat stocks or how people treat their savings account, like, you know, the whole thing that, you know, people have been using for 50 years, which is like, you know, they have your savings account. Like, I don't want to dip into my savings account. That's for the future. That's how people, I think, should for now think about Bitcoin. I do think that there's plenty of places in the world that Bitcoin is already better than their fiat currency. And they can start to think about, you know, Bitcoin being their medium of exchange
they can think about Bitcoin being their primary currency, because Bitcoin has already surpassed, you know, the value of their fiat currency. And the more countries like Venezuela that sort of experience this hyperinflation, and if you have sort of the savings account in Bitcoin and your checking account in this hyperinflationary currency, over time, you know, that's going to happen over the next couple of decades. That's going to happen 100 times to 100 different countries, to 100 different currencies. And every single time, there's always going to be access to this like savings account. So it's almost like this this mimetic nature of Bitcoin being a savings technology that will spread. The people that learn to use Bitcoin as their savings account will, you know, have more money and access to this global currency, whereas people who, you know, rely on fiat and the you know, sort of the downsides of fiat, the inflationary nature of fiat, they will clearly not be in as good a position as people who do look at Bitcoin as savings. So that's my viewpoint. I think I try to oftentimes look at things not through my own viewpoint, but through others. And when I place myself in different places of the world, how I would view Bitcoin, I view it differently. Clearly, you know, if we're being honest, in the U.S., there are things that are difficult to, you know, comprehend. Like, you know, FDIC insurance is very real. Like, you know, there is, I know that up to $250,000, I have all my money insured by a bank. That is very difficult to compete with, especially because a lot of people have not had these like bad experiences with, you know, with that. It's like, it sucks, I'm sure, if you're hacked or something like that. But the fact that you are insured is something that's very difficult to go up against in the U.S. But FDIC insurance is in the U.S. alone, and many parts of the world do not have that. And so Bitcoin probably is the equivalent of FDIC insurance, because you truly own your money and you control the security of your own money, and you can be your own bank and savings technology by using Bitcoin. So kind of like I was saying with, like, you know, Lightning games, Bitcoin games, I think we're going to see the same thing with like Bitcoin as a savings technology. It has advantages because it is a global insurance policy for your money.
Yeah. Des, has Bitcoin changed your life personally at all?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Bitcoin is my life. So
yeah, same.
A lot.
It just like slowly takes over all of your brains, spare brain cycles, and then spare minutes until you're doing it full time.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, you know, what Alex mentioned really resonates with me, but, you know, something that he pointed out that I find so interesting is, like, you know, the FDIC stuff is like, you know, there, I mean, I'm so full Bitcoin maximalist, it's not funny, but like, I still see value in things like that. You know, and when we're creating products, and, you know, when I just like think about, you know, folks who are using Lightning, you know, I try to like step into their global view is very interesting, but, you know, I try and step into like their safe space. You know, I think about, you know, my mom or whoever, it's like using Bitcoin doesn't feel safe. And I think that's like something that we don't ever talk about or address in this community. As I mentioned, it's so insular, and, you know, if you don't get it, you don't lean in all the way, we are just like, okay, you don't get it, you're not worth our time. But it's like, you know, a lot of people want that type of security, that like having 250,000 of your dollars are insured, like that makes you feel safe. So it's like, we don't necessarily have that with Bitcoin, you know, and I think we're getting further down the line, but like, I don't think that we're anywhere where it's like, okay, this is something that everybody's going to use. I think, you know, having the Cash App is great because people use that for other things. So like, okay, well, my money feels safe there. Like when I'm just using fiat money, like if I buy Bitcoin there, it's at least going to feel safe. So, you know, I think I know I'm getting off topic a little bit, but like, that's just something that like I'm constantly thinking about is, you know, I love Bitcoin because I can control it and nobody else has control over it. But like, at the same time, like someone could just, you know, hold me at gunpoint and be like, okay, I'm going to shoot you unless you give me your private keys. And it's like, okay, well, I'm ultimately going to do that. But, you know, so that's like something I'm constantly thinking about. It's like, you know, where is the fine line between, you know, empowering people, but also like giving them the security that will lead to them ultimately adopting the technology. You know, it's a very fine balance, and you know, it's not going to be the same for every company or the same app. Like obviously Lightning Labs, we're all about, you know, self-custodying your own funds. But you know, there's things like the Zebedee wallet, which is like, you know, the gaming wallet where it's like, it's people's first wallet. Like, you know, when I first started, it would have been, I probably should have had somebody else like holding my funds. Like I didn't know what I was doing. So I think there just needs to be like safe spaces or better on-ramps for people who are coming into this space.
Yeah, I hear that. Let's wrap up with, you know, what you think it means for the world. Like let's say Bitcoin decades from now, and it's, you know, however you think it will play out. Like, how do you think it'll change human society? Alex?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's going to just change the psychology of money. I think I think one of the most interesting aspects of Bitcoin is that people never really questioned their money before. I think that's like one fun thing that I was doing, I think like 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, when I was like trying to figure out what I wanted to build next. And I really wanted to, like, I knew about Bitcoin and my family, friends knew about Bitcoin because, you know, I had shared it with them. But I really I wanted to like tap into the psychology of what people's viewpoint of Bitcoin was. And so one of the questions that I often ask people that were new to Bitcoin was, you know, what is money? Like, do you understand money? And most people, when asked about money, they didn't know what it is. They didn't understand what it was backed by. They never even thought about it, because our entire lives, you know, from when you're a kid and you're getting an allowance, and it's just, it's almost like from the time we're born, we're told that $1 is $1, and you don't even think about it. It's like, it's just a part of our society. And so for the first time ever, we're now being faced with this opportunity where we have an option of what our money is and how we personally define our money. And so what that's forcing is this thing, and price is, you know, a big, you know, it is sort of a big attraction point to it, because it's like, okay, all these people are making all this money because Bitcoin keeps going up, Bitcoin's in the news, and our natural tendency as like humans and survivors and people who are like looking out for our wallet are like, why are these people making money? If you own Bitcoin, why am I making money? What is this? And so the more and more you look into Bitcoin, the more and more you realize, you learn about money. And I was like, I was an econ major. Like I studied money for 4 years. And I still, like when I had learned about Bitcoin after that, I realized how little I knew about money in general. So if Bitcoin is this forcing function for us to really redefine money and to ultimately find the truth of money, what is the best money, that's the challenge that Bitcoin has. But it's also what Bitcoin is introducing, is it's forcing society to question the definition of money.
100%. You want to add on to that, Des? Anything?
I mean, that is powerful. I mean, I didn't understand money, really.
Oh, yeah. Same.
I recently read that debt book with Amanda Fabiano, and I had a book club, and we read that, like, giant debt book. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, I said a little bit, I was like, damn, like, we are totally fucked. Sorry for the language. But we're not, because it is Bitcoin. I think right now introduces optionality, but I think, you know, the further down the line we get, like, it's just going to become a forcing function. I think people, even though people don't understand how money really works, I think they're starting to question, you know, at least here in the States, I think people are starting to question, like, you know, who's controlling this? Why are they doing these things? Like, why do we not have any real say over our own money? I'm from the Midwest, and, you know, obviously the whole financial crisis hit the Midwest really hard. And, you know, I think people started to be like, you know, this isn't right. I mean, obviously they started questioning this, but, like, you know, now during this kind of time of huge kind of socioeconomic turmoil, I think people are starting to think again. I mean, obviously we haven't seen the full effects of the pandemic long-term yet, but I mean, I think people are starting to question again, is like, okay, here we go again. Like, you know, the Fed is just printing money. You know, what does this really mean? So I think, you know, ultimately people are going to start questioning, and they're going to see these effects happen twice in one lifetime, and people don't generally make the same mistake three times. And so they're just going to ultimately be pushed to Bitcoin. But you know, at that point it's going to be a forcing function, but right now it's an optionality. And like, luckily, like right now, people are seeing the price and hopefully will come over. But you know, long-term, I don't see Bitcoin as an option. Like, Bitcoin will be the only option, in the future.
Did anyone else notice this whole time, over Des's shoulder, a pair of bullhorns?
That's awesome.
Brecky, go full screen. There it is.
Computer enhanced.
I've been looking at them this whole time, feeling extra bullish. Yeah.
We moved, and like, I don't have, like, we're doing renovations, so I just needed to hang things up so I could like get everything out of the way and out of boxes. So it's just stuff on the walls everywhere. So yes, lots of animals. Like, there's a bear head over there.
Yeah, you just got to put the bear head away.
Yeah,
the bullhorns.
You know, the price is going down, so
yeah,
jinx us.
Exactly. I've got a couple videos lined up here. One is the Mint Gox video that Des posted here in the chat for us to watch. So let's go ahead and yep, here we go. Let's watch this and get fired up about gaming, esports, and Bitcoin.
Yeah, we don't. If you just watch like the first like intro, like, here's Sarutobi. I suck at this game where you kind of swing around as a monkey and see how far you can go. Bitcoin Bounce, super addicting. It's a mobile app. It's a sat stacker game where you can literally just go. It's so easy to win sats. B Sports, yes. I don't know if I've watched this whole thing. Here's like the rainbow-ish.
Nice.
Road. Oh, that's cool. I gotta play that.
Fill station. You can like drive through, stack some sats. Yeah, the Mario Kart is cool. We do have a VR component where you can kind of go in and like hang out. There's like a virtual art gallery and stuff. But yeah, the VR component, there's not a ton going on. That's just kind of a side thing. But yeah, everybody should join us. There's like a really cool spooky Halloween theme track. It's my favorite, where like these ghosts come out and like try and get you and like hanging corpses or something. It's super creepy. So if you're into that, definitely join us.
You gotta check it out. I'm fired up about it now. I'm definitely going to spend some time looking more into this. All right. Well, thank you so much, Des and Alex, for your time. Mm-hmm. It was a ton of fun talking with you all and hearing more about Lightning Labs and Lightning Pool and Lightning Gaming and where Lolly is going. Super exciting on all fronts. So yeah, thanks for your time.
Cool.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, guys.
Well, take care.
Bye. All right. Before I head out, I got a little bit more shilling to do. Don't forget Bitcoin TV, bitcointv.network, and the buy now beta. We need some help. People who like to smash buy on Bitcoin, which is everyone here. You know, you can do that. Help us test. So it's swampbitcoin.com/buy now. And of course, we are in New York, as I said, and Brecky produced a beautiful video for our New York announcement. So go ahead and roll tape, Breck.
In a world filled with uncertainty, Bitcoin gives us hope. And if we work together, we can bring about a bright orange future just a little bit sooner. With low-fee automatic buys, daily, weekly, or monthly, free automatic withdrawals, and world-class Bitcoin education. We've made it safe and easy to accumulate Bitcoin because you have your life to live. So go on and live it. All over the US, people are choosing Swan to achieve their Bitcoin goals. But in the financial capital of the world, The options for building your Bitcoin future are limited. Today, we are proud to announce that Swan Bitcoin is now open for business in all 50 states, including the great state of New York. Sign up at swanbitcoin.com/New York and get $10 of free Bitcoin when you become a member. Together, we are helping to build that bright orange future from sea to shining sea. We are advocates. We are educators. We are Bitcoiners.
Thanks to Alex and Dez for joining us. You can find Alex on Twitter at Alex Adelman. That's AlexAdelman. And Dez is at Dickerson_Dez, DickerSon_Des. I am at Citizen Bitcoin, and you'll find Swan at Swan Bitcoin. On behalf of the Swan team, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Swan Signal podcast. It's fun to join us live on the YouTube broadcasts at youtube.com/swansignal. You can head over there, subscribe now, turn on those notifications. We have a lot of fun in the live chat, and we often work in some questions from listeners. Lots of other great shows and content over on our YouTube channel as well, so check it out. Remember also to take a look at Bitcoin TV. It's on our YouTube channel. You'll also be able to get directly to it by just typing in bitcointv.network into your browser. You can subscribe to this podcast, if you are not already, at swansignalpodcast.com. Swan Signal is a production of Swan Bitcoin, the best way to accumulate Bitcoin with automatic recurring buys at swanbitcoin.com.